Okay, it was brought to my attention that the recording had been turned off when Commissioner Hart said he had to recuse himself. Do we need to get a hold of him and have it become part of the record on tape, or?
So we actually do have a secondary recording. The Zoom meeting is recording, and it was recording during the time that Commissioner Hart requested or let us know that he was recusing himself from this item.
Thank you very much.
Been established in previous meetings.
The next item is the Seros Use Permit UP-18-16. Staff report, please.
This is the Sirois Use Permit UP-18-16. Just like the previous project, this one was previously heard. We heard this one during the October 2020 Planning Commission meeting. To recap this project, Lisa Sirois is requesting approval of a privately operated recreational facility, which would allow for a single annual four-day music event during a single camp calendar year. This is a modification from her original request for two events per year. The project site is located approximately 20 miles northeast of the city of Weed on three 40-acre parcels that are zoned for rural residential uses. It has been used as a music venue since 2004, and it's developed with facilities that are accessory to the event. Adjacent parcels are also zoned rural residential, are large or very large, and are undeveloped. During the October meeting, the project was continued to allow staff to research and respond to concerns related to CEQA baseline, CAL FIRE occupancy recommendations, Forest Service use permit requirements, parking, hazardous material spills, pre-event meeting attendees, water tender staff licensing, and extreme fire conditions, in addition to obtaining comments from the California Regional Water Quality Control Board and Department of Fish and Wildlife, and to allow for a site visit with the commissioner. Staff gave a presentation during the December 2020 Planning Commission meeting to address CEQA baseline concerns. A request for comment was submitted to the California Regional Water Quality Control Board, the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, and the California Department of Water Resources. Only Fish and Wildlife responded, and they provided a comment that reiterated their original comment and offered an additional comment regarding the potential for Lake Lure to be within the range of the Cascades frogs. CAL FIRE submitted a comment regarding their recommended occupancy for the project site, which they noted does not account for any potential access limitations to the site. Their recommendation is for a total occupancy of 550 people and a maximum of 250 vehicles. The Forest Service submitted examples of Forest Service road use permits, which are required as a condition of approval, number 9. The applicant team submitted a supplemental site plan that delineates the parking area and the number of parking spaces for each area. The total number of mapped parking spaces is 294, and they also submitted a second supplemental site plan, which noted a setback from Lake Lure. A recommended condition of approval was added to address potential spills related to vehicles and a requirement that a hazardous material response plan be included as part of the emergency plan was also included. Condition of approval number 16 was modified to include the requirement that the water tender be staffed by a licensed operator. And due to concerns related to wildland fires, a condition of approval number 19 was added to limit the timing of the event to not be held during red flag warnings or during forest closures. Regarding the request to add fruit growers to the pre-meeting event, that was added, but subsequently to the staff report being written, the applicant made a comment to me that she would prefer that they be notified of the event as a separate condition of approval, but since it's an agency pre-project meeting, that she did not feel they were appropriate to have at the meeting, since they are not an agency, they are an adjacent property owner. But she would be happy to have them notified of the project as a separate condition of approval, which I believe would meet the intent of having them at that pre-project meeting. Planning staff and Commissioner Veal conducted a site visit on November 4th, 2020. And 16 public comments have been received for this meeting. 15 were in favor of the project, including one from an adjacent property owner, and one was not in favor of the project. And I believe that one more comment was submitted just prior to this meeting that is in opposition to this project, but I have not had a chance to actually read it. Staff is proposing that this project be found consistent with the general plan and zoning for its area and to be exempt from CEQA pursuant to section 15061B3, 15301, 15303D, 15303E, and 15304E. Staff recommends determining the project categorically and exempt from and approving this use permit as the comments submitted by agencies have been incorporated as recommended conditions of approval. There's a suggested motion in the packet.
Any comments from this commission at this time?
Not at this time, but I do.
At this time, I will open the public hearing.
So, for clarification.
Yes, sir.
It's reopening.
Okay.
We closed public hearing in October, had staff do further diligence in securing information to address questions and concerns of the commission. So we would be reopening the public hearing, should so choose.
Okay, reopening the public hearing. I have two comments here. How many people want to speak on this? Okay. I got two here. First, we'll take them. Terry Salvestro.
Through the chair, don't forget Scott Sumner wanted his read.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there was one that requested it be read.
We do have a comment that was submitted in writing, and they requested it to be read during this meeting. Would you like for me to do that now?
How much of a comment is it?
It's a comment in opposition to this project that was submitted.
Short one?
It's...
Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, there is a right to have a public comment read. You can limit the reading to 3 minutes, and 3 minutes is done.
Go ahead.
Let me get to it. If you would like to have somebody else comment while I'm looking for it.
Okay. Seeing how I got these two here first. Terry Salvestro. Am I close?
Close.
We're good. Please name your state your name and address, sir.
Yeah, my name is Terry Salvestro. My address is 854 Montague Road in Wairega. I'm here, however, on behalf of Fruit Door Supply Company. I'm the regional manager of our Siskiyou County ownership of 155,000 acres and 8,000 acres in the project vicinity. I previously supplied comment on November 20th, 2020 by email to Commissioner Veal. I'd like to provide this in case you folks have not seen that. Obviously, there's been some modification, a lot of other comment by agencies on this project. I don't want to reiterate the comments that I supplied last fall, but I would like to reinforce some of my concerns. Our main concern is not against any personal event or the individual proponents. We would be opposed if it was a country western music event at Hart Meadows or on a Louis Ranch or anywhere else around our ownership. It just, we don't think that a 400 or 300 or 500 person event with that many vehicles should be conducted in such a rural setting on a narrow one-way narrow forest road system and require all of public agencies, law enforcement, fire, basically the infrastructure of this county to be able to have to mobilize up to an area like that instead of doing something at a outside of Mount Shasta or at the county fairgrounds. But anyway, our main concern is fire. And it always will be. A couple things have come up since my comment. You know, as everyone knows, we're in extreme drought. The Klamath National Forest last fall in September, actually in August, closed down the national forest to deer hunting, elk hunting, and everything. We basically, I think, Timber Products as well as Fruit Bear Supply Company followed suit. We didn't have the people, the staff to go out and conduct and enforce it, but we basically supported Fish and Game and anybody else in the Forest Service to run people off of our property or all forest roads during that time. It would be impossible for us to go up there or for them to schedule an event and then at the last minute have the National Forest close down access. I mean, they have private property and they can do what they want on their own property, but all these people are going to be driving through National Forest land as well as through Fruit Bear Supply Company land to an event when a National Forest is closed down. Or like you said, I like the idea that if the event would be canceled on red flag warnings, I'd like that to be added to higher extreme fire danger situations, because red flag warnings are an extreme event. They're usually just for 4 or 5 hours, maybe for an afternoon. But once the fire rating is raised to extreme, it usually doesn't drop below extreme until the first fall rains. And so I'd like to see that clause be added, that not just red flag warnings, but extreme fire danger in the area. I'd like to reiterate our concerns, you know.
For 30 seconds, sir.
Okay. Anyway, I guess the commission has visited the site. I was not aware of that. Evaluate the parking and if they actually can conduct the safe event size. And that, you know, there's no way to report emergency or fire. There's no cell phone service up there unless you have agency personnel up there with their agency radio system. There's no way for a medical emergency or a fire to be reported from that location. Thank you for allowing me to comment.
I have one more request here. You have?
Did you want me to?
Yeah, would you read that, please?
Read it now?
Yes.
Okay. So this is a comment from Scott Sumner, and it states, "Dear Commissioners, I am unsure of my ability to make it to your meeting on the 21st, so would like to take this opportunity to voice my concerns about subject use permit by way of this email. My comments in brief are as follows. I remain opposed to the issuance of this use permit. I do not feel that the use permit, as described, is in fact exempt under CEQA. Wildfire and inadequate secondary ingress and egress are primary technical concerns. Of equal concern is the uncontrolled associated activity that is likely to take place outside the project area as it has in the past. The creation of these small private parcels by way of illegal subdivision and lack of planning a half century ago should have never happened. Please do not exacerbate the issue by allowing a use that is clearly not in harmony with the high country landscape that exists at the headwaters of Alder Creek. Thank you for providing me this opportunity to comment. Scott Sumner, RCE 33603. Please read my comments at the meeting."
Thank you. That's okay, I'll just call 2821.
Well, that's the address for Hart,
yeah.
So I bet that says Susan Hart.
That's Susan Hart.
Susan Hart?
I know their address.
Yes,
oh, okay.
Many, many years ago when we were first married and I came home from work one day and there was a typewriter on my kitchen counter that with a note typed, "If you want it read, type it."
sorry. Thank you. I'm Susan Hart, H-A-R-T, 2821 Harry Cash Road, Montague, California. Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity, Chairman Mello, Commissioners Fowle and Veal, the staff, everyone. I know how hard you all work, and the proponents. Thank you all. I applaud your efforts. We're not, I said it in a comment back in September, we're not opposed to these activities whatsoever. The betterment and enrichment of the cultural fabric of our county. It's just, we oppose, it's just, it's a situation where we can't get our heads wrapped around the location of the venue. Citing level of the risk associated with the proposed management activities, I remain opposed to the issuance of this permit. Though not limited to, but of primary concern, are the risks of unintentional actions that could lead to wildfire and the inability to adequately mitigate such risks. And in my comments that I submitted earlier, I cite the checklist, items 16, 17, 18, 19. I know Mr. Silvestro commented on 19, the red flag warnings. In the West, we all face horrible challenges, big challenges. I mean, I don't need to tell, not any of us do I need to say that to. We need to cooperate to try and adjust for whatever reasons. There's no one to blame. There's no right way, wrong way. What we can say is all of us, the National Forest, CAL FIRE, NRCS, Shasta RCD, private property owners, small, large, everyone, the county, we all need to work together to save and work and protect what we have. We are the stewards of those incredible properties. The properties that the proponents' letters write and address in their beauty, and they talk about how wonderful this organization is and everything they do and the location. Well, there's a reason that that location is wonderful, because we work very hard to retain it. And in these times of uncertainty with climate change, drought, we're facing another horrid year, lack of resources. Just the county alone doesn't have the resources. Planning doesn't have the resources. We just have to think about the big picture. Considering the landscape of Mount Shasta, this is our opportunity to really get it right. We consider the fact that there are high mountain meadows lining ridged box canyons that extend from the rim of Shasta. Designated stage 4 Cerro Grove Forest, reserve forest designated by Klamath National Forest, are just over the ridge, extending southerly toward McLeod, all along Shasta's eastern slopes. Cerro Stage 4, defined by U.S. Forest Service botanists, are forests of more than 150 years of age trees, and in the case of this ridge, well over 200 years of age. We are responsible for that, and we have a chance, unlike what's going on in the Sierras and all around us on the West, Oregon, everywhere, we've got to get this right. Box canyons are lush with meadows, where in addition to private lands, Klamath National permits multiple agriculturists for summer grazing of cattle as part of their landscape management best practices. The only way to get out of a steep face, ridge-faced box canyon is downhill. Quoting Dr. Dave Daly, noted agriculturist and academic and rancher whose seventh generation family lost over 80% of their cattle in the Plumas National Forest in October of this last year, September, excuse me. Dr. Daly writes, "I cry for the forest, the trees, the streams, and the horrible deaths suffered by the wildlife and our cattle. The suffering was unimaginable."
30 seconds, ma'am.
We can, both the proponents, all property owners, cooperating with the agencies, we already are, we can really help Siskiyou into the next generation. And thank you again very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Okay, anybody on the thing now?
So.
Yeah, we're gonna call another person. Who's next? Anybody? Come on.
I believe we have the project proponent here and the representative here. The project proponent would like to speak for sure, and I do have about four people on the line who have their hand raised.
Is it my turn?
Sure.
4 minutes.
4 minutes. Hello, I'm.
Because we read all the stuff that came in.
Yeah, I know.
I did, I should say.
Well, first of all, thank you so much, you know, Janine, Rachel, Dusty. Dusty, thank you for coming with Marilyn to the site visit. And thank you, Kirk, for everything. And Nick as well. Nick has been working really hard. Okay, so maybe I should introduce myself. I'm gonna skip forward because I want to have enough time, but I've been planning events for over 30 years. And our event is for the purpose of spirituality through the ritual of music and dancing, and to bring a sense of community to the area. As you have seen from some of the comments that have come in, other event producers and artists in the industry are vouching for our reputation. I've been a resident and landowner for 18 years and a homeowner resident for 10. And my husband and kids grew up here and we're grandparents now. So we're mature, responsible, accountable people, and we care about our land, our neighbors, our community, and public safety. So I want to touch on the fire. The fire thing. The property location is about 30 miles from Weed and an elevation of 6,500 feet. Due to the annual snowpack, vehicular access is generally between June and October. The rest of the year, the property is covered in snow. Today, there are 3 to 6 feet of snow at the project site, and I have a data set of the current snowpack. I understand the main concern of this project is wildfire risk. We will not do an event during the time of high wildfire risk. That is a condition of this permit. The risk is just as much of a burden is to us as it is to everyone else. I want to assure everyone that we will make our best effort to do the event in the part of the season where the snow has recently melted, reducing the risk of fire danger significantly. We monitor the snowpack via cameras and online data, which I just showed you. If we do the event soon after the snow has melted, the area is still wet, the risk is very low, and we hope we can put your fears to rest. We also have strict smoking policies, a complete ban on fire, and much more, which you can see in our draft event management plan and in the staff report. And it's already been mentioned that CAL FIRE has approved our request to have the 550 people max and 250 cars on site. And about the cell phone service, we do have cell phone service. It is pretty good, and we have Wi-Fi. And we are going to get Tesla, Starlink. We're going to get Starlink as well, which will boost our communications greatly. And the cell phone reception on the road is in and out, but it is not bad. I also want to stress that we are asking for 1 weekend per year. And for us, this is small compared to similar type events in the state that host thousands. The impact of this project, I believe, are less than the year-round impacts of logging and ranching as far as noise, ground disturbance, wildlife disturbance, air pollution, litter, traffic, etc. And I understand these activities are regulated. Here we are today for a regulated event permit with a long list of conditions that specifically address all of the concerns that have been brought to the table. Please consider, well, I'm gonna skip that. we also want to mention that we have done a lot of road maintenance and defensible space work, and we've done it over decades, and it has amounted to an astronomical amount of money and time, and has come out of our own pockets. And also, in the years that we've held the event, we have brought tourism dollars to the area, as well as being a client to many local businesses in connection with the events. We have opportunities for local artisans to sell their goods at our event, from clothing, jewelry, food. The opportunities will not be there if we don't get approved. If we get approved, part-time jobs will be created, dozens of paid temporary positions, as well as many contracts to local businesses supporting the event infrastructure, such as wildfire staffing, professional services, sanitary facilities, medical staffing, equipment rentals, etc. Not to mention that if we can continue to run the event side of our business, it employs Brian and I seasonally. Anyway, this is our life's work. We would be gutted if our decades of work, financial investment, and dedication go down the drain. We have dedicated countless years of our lives, tens of thousands of hours and dollars to this family-oriented project. We ask that you please approve this very special, meaningful, and well-loved, respected event today. And thank you so much for letting me speak. And thank you also, Susan and Terry, for speaking. I appreciate your input.
Anyone else wish to speak? Yes, sir. 4 minutes, sir. State your name and address, please.
My name is Zariah Shara. My address is 1420 Highland Drive in Mount Shasta. I just want to add my input, first of all, about the cell phone. There is, surprisingly, cell phone service up there. I use it every time up there. I have Verizon. They have a better internet connection up there than my own home in Mount Shasta. And about the fire danger, I have personally seen the countless hours of effort that Lisa and Brian have put into this property to make it as fire safe as possible. They have widened the road so you can get two cars going either direction. It is an absolutely beautiful event. I cannot stress enough, this is not your typical festival. I actually believe the definition of a festival is 5,000 plus people. This is less than a tenth of that. The people that come to this festival are incredibly respectful to land. They are not your normal partiers. This is not a party. This is a place for people to gather together and share their culture. Artists from all over the country and out of the country come to gather here specifically at this event. And it brings thousands of dollars of economic activity to Siskiyou County every year that happens. The people who come here often stay for days or weeks, supporting our local businesses, tourism. And I could go on and on about the benefits of this event, but I'm sure you've heard enough. And as far as the fire danger goes, I'd like to reiterate that I believe CAL FIRE is the real authority on this matter, and they have already voiced their approval of 550 people max, and we have never actually had that many people at this event. It's always lower than that. There is ample space. It's not like people are actually packed in here. It is very spacious. There's plenty of parking. There's plenty of room on the roads to get multiple cars through at a time. And as far as the noise concerns go, the property, as I'm sure whoever was there was able to see, it's in a canyon. And I've personally hiked the ridge of this canyon every year I'm there. When you get past that ridge, you cannot hear the sound whatsoever. It literally just cuts off because, I don't know, the acoustics somehow, you can hear it when you're in the canyon. When you're out, it doesn't bleed to any adjacent properties whatsoever. Yeah, I thank you all for your time, and I am strongly voicing my approval for this project. We are incredibly lucky to have this here in Siskiyou County. So, thank you.
Anybody else in house wish to speak? Seeing none.
Okay, would the caller whose last four digits end in 1031, please press star 6 to unmute and state your name, address, and spell your last name for the record. Hold on just a second.
Battery 90%.
Go ahead and restart. Sorry, our speaker had turned off.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for letting me speak. My name is Martin Madar. I may be a little shy, so if I stutter, I'm sorry about it.
I am originally
from Czechoslovakia. I moved to California.
Sir, please wait.
Ago. My aunt.
Sir, can't please hear. Wait. Hold on a second. We're having a hard time hearing you.
I couldn't understand.
Can you please state your name slowly and then spell it, as well as give us your address for the record?
Can you hear me better, Isley?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you. My name is Martin Madar, M-A-D-A-R. My address is 506 Avenida Victoria, San Clemente, California, 92672.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You got 4 minutes,
so,
sir.
Thank you very much. Oh, what was it?
Go ahead. You have 4 minutes.
Okay, cool. Thank you very much. Thank you for letting me speak. I first met Goldie and Brian in 2018 at their at the event Stark and Shasta. And all I have to say is what I've seen as a traveler, I think that this was very responsible event thrown by Goldie. I think everybody who goes to these events are very responsible and know how to behave. So I totally understand about the fire issue, but honestly, by seeing this, I don't think that in a group of people like us, that would be a big problem. We are very, they're very responsible. You know, and there was people at the event, and they were from a safety crew or like people who basically are medics, and they never went to event like this. And I talked to them, and they said they never met such a responsible, such a good people. And you know, I think this is basically a family event where everybody look out for each other. And not speaking of bringing revenue to your county, I'm from Europe and I have a crew of 10 to 15 people coming once a year in your region for about 3 weeks. You know, we pay for hotels, we pay for meals, we support the community. And that is another addition that I think should be looked into, you know. And like I said, I understand the fire safety, but what I'm hearing is, or what I'm seeing is, like, should we be scared and lock down the whole county and never have any event? Or should we be responsible as we are and let events like this happen? You know, this is not travelers from out of nowhere that they don't know how to behave. All of us are very responsible. And I really think that you guys shouldn't be so worried about the fire in our crew, you know? So that's all I have to say. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit shy, so it's kind of hard for me to speak, but I am 100% on Goldie's side, and seeing how she's been throwing, how responsible she's been, I think I would let this happen, you know? That's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comment. I have a caller who's identified with a single name, Nancy. Please unmute and state your name and spell your last name and give us your address for the record. You will have 4 minutes once you are done.
Hi, my name is Nancy Hutchison, Hutchison, and I live at 808 Beach Street, like going to the beach street in Ashland, Oregon, 97520. And dear Planning Commission, Goldie and Brian's first Star Camp event began in 2004. They are always held around the dry lake bed and are meticulously respectful with the surrounding land. In 2013, Goldie and Brian held their wedding party at Star Camp, and the events have continued to grow and are highly anticipated with people coming from long distances. They are some of the most organized events ever held in Northern California. The attention to detail is immaculate, all the way from the detailed decorations of the party to the sound setup, dance floor, and surrounding woods. The dance floor is always carpeted, so the dust is at a minimum, and dancers feel free to dance barefoot. The property around the lake provide for lots of roomy camping space, and everyone respects the land and each other. It's a small group of campers, with each setup being a unique display of art and personality. Hygiene is of utmost importance. Goldie and Brian make sure that there are clean facilities and water at every event. The land is well taken care of, and they enforce a strict no smoking policy, as well as a pack it in and pack it out trash policy. All attendees respect each other, and the whole atmosphere becomes a loving experience of family and friendship. The events are family-oriented, and everyone is treated equally. Event-goers are always feel welcome and always look forward to the next Star Camp. And thank you so much for your time, and let's go Star Camp.
Thank you for your comment. I have Ms. Marsh on the line who would like to comment. Ms. Marsh, please press star 6 to unmute.
My name is Ann Marsh, M-A-R-S-H, 4628 Pine Cone Drive, Etna, California, 96027. I did not comment on this, although I had intended to. However, I do not believe that you can make the findings of the common sense exemption from CEQA 15061B3 because it's obvious that there are concerns that should have been addressed in a more diligent environmental review. Also, it's really a stretch to include the other categorical exemptions of like a building, which is illegal and which is of a size that it has a value of like a few thousand dollars, and use of the land. It is really unfortunate the planning department has decided to go with, if it's illegal, we'll approve it. I am opposed to that, and I'm making this comment specifically because if anything like that came to my area of this county, I would be adamantly opposed to it, not only for the fire danger, but because of other conditions that have not been evaluated during this non-environmental review. So I am totally opposed to this project. I suggest that you cannot make the finding of 15061B3, and I would certainly be talking to my attorney if I were anywhere near that. So thank you so much.
Thank you for your comment. I have a caller identified with the name of Jason Paveo. Please go ahead and state your name and spelling for the record, as well as your address, and then you will have 4 minutes.
Wonderful. Good morning, everyone. My name is Jason Paveo. That's spelled P as in Peter, A as in Apple, B as in Victor, A as in Apple, O as in Orange, P-A-V-A-O. I am at 28 Jefferson Avenue, San Rafael, California, 94903. I am calling today in support of the use permit for this wonderful event. I have been a longtime friend and associate of Goldie and Brian. And I have never been to Shasta County, let alone lead or this area of Shasta, until I came to an event there. When I come, I usually come and stay for a week. I purchase gasoline, I purchase food at the grocery store, I go to the local hot springs, and I feel part of this community. I had never been to this area and probably would never have been, you know, enticed to do so unless this event happened and my community would gather. So I'm calling today to urge you to please allow this gathering and this permit to be approved. Again, it's only 1 week of the year. Every imaginable provision has been made to alleviate any issue when it comes to a medical or fire emergency of nature. In fact, Brian and Goldie are the stewards of this area. Prior to their ownership of this land, it was a free-for-all mess. So, you know, not only is the county receiving benefits of stewardship, cleanliness, road improvements, direct line of communication with Top Fire and all the other constituents that are responsibility, that just wouldn't have ever happened. You know, they work with local law enforcement to, you know, notify them of people that are illegally camping or creating a mess. I've seen plenty of it over the course of the past 17 years of being close friends and models with Goldie and Brian. So, again, I just want to make sure that, you know, that's understood by the council here today, and that I am in complete favor of the approval of this conditional use permit. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comment.
Hi, my name is Laird Archer. I come up as Napoleon. Yeah. May I have a moment to speak?
Yes, please state your name and spell your last name and give us your address.
Absolutely. Good morning. My name is Laird Archer, spelled A-R-C-H-E-R, and my address is 290 Napoleon Street, San Francisco, California. Thank you for your time this morning, commissioners. I know you, your role is to have address the concerns of the community and make sure that all regulations are being abided by and problem avoidance. I've worked on events in San Francisco for 30 years, which has an extremely high bar for risk mitigation and all aspects of an event, which you are in this meeting and for other events of this nature trying to deal with here. There is risk to doing anything in life, and what fire attempts to do, what police attempt to do, what health department attempts to do, what medical staff attempt to do, what every agency attempts to do is mitigate risk. And that's understandable, and that's your purpose for what you do. And responsible promoters and event organizers, it's their responsibility to the community and to the people who come to address those risks. So there's nothing in life that is without risk. Everything has a degree of risk. COVID has risk, and all the regulations put around COVID trying to mitigate that have been to minimize that risk. I've heard voiced here today many understandable concerns, one of the largest being fire. That is more than understandable. That is a huge concern for everybody. Even in San Francisco, we've dealt with the smoke of fires just like everybody else has throughout Northern California especially. So what you want then is a structure and responsibility on everybody's part who's involved in either permitting or organizing something to happen. And nothing can be better than having people in each of those positions who takes that responsibility seriously and addresses the concerns. There is a way to address most concerns legitimately and to reach a place where things can happen within a regulatory structure. And I absolutely think that what Lisa and Brian are working towards is something that can happen within a regulatory structure, which they're certainly trying to abide by the work they've done before this became something to bring to the commission. And they've certainly, since it's been coming before the commission, worked very hard to formalize and put some structure to that. The service that the commission has requested, and everything that they think from their side they could bring to providing that structure. So the main points I would make are, I've known Goldie, Lisa, and Brian for 25 plus years. I've seen them and worked with them side by side on many events in the Bay Area. They have taken that knowledge, which is at a very high level in a place like San Francisco, I'm sure you would all admit, and taken that to another place where maybe not as many regulations and requirements have existed, or around an event of this type. Rachel. And so I think there's got to be a way.
Sir, I'm sorry, your time is up, but thank you for your comment.
Thank you, commissioners. Thank you.
I do not have anybody else with their hand raised at this time.
Anybody else wish to speak?
If you'd like to speak, press star 9. I have Zachariah's iPhone that has their hand raised. Please go ahead and unmute. Zachariah, please go ahead and press star 6 if you are on your phone to unmute and make your comment.
Hi, my name is Zach Schneeman. I live at 512 Mill Street, Mount Shasta, California, 96067. I am a local entrepreneur and business owner and father, family person. I've worked with Goldie and Brian over the years since probably before 2004 on clearing the land and making huge slash piles that were left by loggers go away, and we take down dead trees. They've also hired me to make t-shirts for them, and I've been allowed to sell at the event as a business owner that creates clothing and retail. I am in support of this permit. That's all I have. Thank you.
Can you please spell your last name for the record?
S-C-H-N-E-E-M-A-N.
Thank you very much. I have a caller whose last four digits are 4929. Please press *6 to unmute and state your name and address for the record and spell your last name.
Hello, my name is Holly Kavarensic. And my address is 6980 Highway 3, Hayfork, California, 96041. I think you wanted my spelling of my last name, and that's CATARANCUIC. And I'm also standing here with my partner, Dan Kern, KERN, and we live at the same address. But I just wanted to let everyone know that I've been through an extremely difficult trauma. And since I've been coming to these events, I have been able to really transform myself, being around all these amazing, responsible people. That has really changed my life and made me, and given me hope to go on with my life. And I really hope that these events are allowed. They're very important. These people involved are some of the most safe, wonderful, responsible people I've ever met. It's just a wonderful event. It's a healing event. It will also help the community to grow and come together. So I really hope that these events are allowed to continue. It's been the important therapy in my own life. And anyway, thank you so much for letting me speak. I'm so supportive of this event, and I hope they can take place in the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comment. At this time, don't seem to have any other people who have their hand raised. I'll ask one more time. Press *9 if you would like to comment. Seeing none.
At this time, I will close the public hearing and bring it back to the commission. I'll be corrected if I'm mistaken. But when national forest lands are shut down due to fire, that includes all private and adjacent lands. Is that not true?
So
it's not just federal land, isn't it?
Well, they can't close private. They can't close private.
No, but if you have to go through federal to get to private, you can't do it.
So I have a comment on that.
Yes.
The use permit that the Forest Service provided, it did have notations about being able to shut down the road. So if the Forest Service shuts down the road,
yes,
then access to the property would not be, they would not be able to access the property through the Forest Service roads.
Thank you.
And Chair, I do have somebody else who raised their hand after. No?
All done. Done.
Okay.
Oh. Do you want to go ahead, Jim?
I'll be patient.
I called the Goose Nest National Forest Service office, which has the jurisdiction for fire protection in that area. Correct.
I believe that is that district.
And the dispatcher didn't know anything about this application. And I admit, maybe it was somebody else. So they called the supervisor, which happens to be in Montana because of the COVID. He was unaware of it. That's not unusual. Did he call you and talk to you or Kirk?
So I did have a conversation with the ranger for the Goose Nest Ranger
Mike
District.
Walker?
Yes, and you are correct. He was not aware of this project, and I let him know that the forest supervisor, Patty Grantham, had been involved in this project and had submitted a comment for the project. And I also was able to provide him with the staff report from the prior meeting and also for this particular meeting. And he did not contact me to provide any additional comments after that.
So the road permit has to come through the Goose
Forest Service.
Goose Nest Forest Service, right?
I'm not sure who specifically in the Klamath it will be issued through, other than the road department.
That was his understanding that
his office, or his ranger district, had to issue the route permit, road permit.
I don't know who specifically in the forest would be the one, other than it's a Klamath road permit.
Maybe Terry would know.
When we file for a road use permit, I think the current employee that our main contact is a gentleman named Ben Molitor. You know, the personnel changes quite a bit. I'm not even sure if Patty Grantham is still a supervisor. She may have retired since your last meeting. But there is a road manager that probably works out of the Wairika supervisor's office that is in charge of at least initiating road use permits.
And just to clarify, Ben Molitor was the individual in the forest who provided those example road use permits for your review.
Yeah. Well, my comments are it hasn't changed since the last time we met, and it didn't change when we went and visited the project. I think these are wonderful people, and I think they're well-meaning. And it boils down to the problem is it's the wrong event in the wrong place. And I don't know how you change that with 500 people. I don't know how you all of a sudden think that 500 people will be so responsible, not at their own fault, make a mistake and set the forest on fire. And then what did we say? What did we say the next meeting after this would happen? And say, gee, well, we should have covered that. Or, gee, we thought we had everything covered. You're talking thousands and thousands of acres of forest that are vulnerable. And that road in and that road out, I guarantee if that was a disaster to happen, it would make a derby carving unbelievable. Especially the road out that you and I took, Rachel, going out to the 06 road, trying to get people out of there in a hurry would be dangerous. So I don't see anything that would make me change my mind and approve this application. I did mention that to those folks that if you wanted to put it at a better location would be the Bunny Flat at the Memorial Highway, Mount Shasta. You got a paved road to it, you got open space, you got the mountain right next to you, you got the same sky. That's a location that I could say I could approve, but I'm sorry, I just don't see it. So that's my comment. And there's other things I could mention, but it really boils down to the wrong location for the wrong event at the wrong time.
Can I comment again?
So I went through the supplemental from the staff, looking at all the comments. My primary concern, I'm not going to go into the weeds of agency interaction. As a planning commission, I view this position to evaluate a project for its appropriateness to the location, whether we're dealing with a vacation rental, a gravel mine, an asphalt batch plant, in this case, a concert venue for music, dancing, vendors, etc. Is it appropriate for that location? And does it present a risk to public health, safety, welfare? I think the event itself is a great idea. The location, in my mind, is not the proper venue because there is nothing that you can do. The county doesn't have the staff to have somebody on site 24/7 during this to make sure that everything is being followed. The Sheriff's Department can't be up there 24/7. There's no way to make this safe enough in my mind to where the risk to the adjacent property owners is reduced to a level in terms of fire. I know that area, I know the wind currents, and it would not take much for a little thing to turn that side of Mount Shasta into a paradise fire in a matter of minutes, because it has not, the national forest component, not fruit growers, has not been managed properly. And you are bordering some excessive manzanita patches very close by. One spark in there, and that thing is gone with the right wind. While I appreciate, like, and respect the event, this location, in my mind, is not appropriate for the area and does present to me a significant risk to public and private safety. And I'm going to leave my comments solely to that. I'll reiterate what Commissioner Beal said. Wrong location. A Bunny Flats, a Lake Siskiyou, closer to infrastructure for potential fire, lower fire, that area, it makes me nervous. Now, if our federal forests had been managed properly for the last 50 years, perhaps I might see it a little differently. But due to lack of management, the risk is too high for me. I, as a commissioner, if I approve this and a fire happened, maybe not this year, but the next year, that comes back on me because it's a decision I made that said this was allowable in this area, and I can't live with that. It's too high of a risk for me. That's where I sit.
Okay. What be the pleasure of the commission?
If I may comment.
Yes, sir.
I'm anticipating a motion to deny the application. This may or may not be appealed. Since I've been doing the Planning Commission, we've actually not had any appeals. But I would like to know perhaps the commission's pleasure or historical practice if they deny a permit. It seems they're going to be, and it gets appealed, staff needs to communicate to the Board of Supervisors what occurred here. I see two ways of doing this. One is, if you approve, if you state to staff the reasons for your denial, and I've heard most of them from Commissioner Fallon, Commissioner Beal, and you know, we could try to restate them back. Just put them in formally to a staff report to the Board of Supervisors if this gets appealed. I don't know if it will. So informally, whatever you tell us, we'll put in a staff report if it gets appealed. The alternative is to come back with a formal resolution denying it and, you know, setting forth the Planning Commission's reasons. As I say, I've been the Planning Commission attorney for 2 years. This is the first time I've really had to cross this road. And it seemed like it could be done either way. I know you have all been up there a long time. So.
Yeah, I prefer to deal with it today and deny it today, okay, rather than come back with a formal
resolution.
So now, Commissioner Veal can certainly add to this, but I would make a formal statement that, for me personally, it's a finding of public safety, specifically related to risk of fire to public and private property. And I am also not comfortable with the limited standard of ingress egress in case of an emergency such as a catastrophic wildfire.
I agree with
that. That's my primary.
Yes, I agree with those comments.
Compatibility is not there. I'm sorry.
One of the things, I'm a former firefighter, 20-year veteran. I've fought structure fires and wildland fires and gasoline fires. The thing is, fire is so unpredictable. And with the fire triangle of fuel, oxygen, and heat, the only one you can control is the fuel. And as Commissioner Files said, over the past, I have to go back maybe further, 50 years, lousy forest management just increases the fuel. And that has to be considered, especially out there where the winds blow like they do. Just like this thing that happened in Ashland, Talent up there. To me, that was the perfect storm. Everything was just right for that to burn like it did, as rapidly as it did. But, you know, this is hard for me because I've lived here all my life and I've seen this county go from a very productive county down to a struggling one. And this would have no doubt benefited the county, but in good conscience, looking at the area and the chance of wildfire, especially now with the drought like it is, it's only worse. I have to agree with my fellow commissioners. At this time, I just can't do it. Thank you.
So what do we do? Take a motion to deny the application.
So, Council, tell me if I need to add. Hang on one second here. Let me get up to the.
May I speak?
So I move that we deny the resolution. Should I say deny the resolution?
I was thinking deny the use permit application.
Okay. I move we deny the use permit application UP-18-16. And determine that the denial is in relation to public safety concerns in relation to fire risk to public and private property.
Including ingress and egress.
Including quality of ingress, egress routes.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Is this roll call or voice?
Voice.
Voice. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries, unfortunately. I want to thank all of you for being here today. The next regular meeting of the Siskiyou County Planning Commission is scheduled for Wednesday, May 19th, 2021 at 9 a.m. Correspondence. Staff comments.
Yes, Commissioner, we have a comment from staff. I'd like to make the Planning Commission aware that staff has received direction from the Board of Supervisors to put in place a moratorium on vacation rentals countywide for those parcels less than 2.5 acres for a period of 18 months, in which time we will be doing the housing element for the county and gaining information to better address vacation rentals countywide.
So that hasn't been approved yet?
No, it has not. We've taken it to the board in May. Thank you.
We'll come to you first.
So, for clarification,
now that's the housing element or the moratorium?
Moratorium.
And then the housing element is going to be coming to us after you all have gone through with a fine-tooth comb.
In year 2022. So, just for clarifications regarding the temporary moratorium, this is simply on accepting new applications for properties that are 2.5 acres or less countywide. All vacation rentals that have been approved can continue regardless of their size, and any applications received before the moratorium goes into effect will still be processed and brought forward.
And so if one comes up before the Planning Commission's moratorium, we don't consider the moratorium as a reason for denial?
It's a timing issue. None can come in once it's in place.
I know, but
yeah. No, I mean, the fact that it's being considered is not of any legal effect for the Planning Commission. And if a vacation rental comes along in the meantime, there's nothing binding or compelling the board because there's a pending moratorium. And just let me say procedurally, maybe it seems confusing, or maybe you all understand it. Adding a useless comment, the prior moratorium that failed about a month ago failed because it was an urgency ordinance. It took 4 votes. It got 3. If it comes back as a regular ordinance, I won't say what the Board of Supervisors is going to do, but the vote requirement is less, and it was based on the historical vote that just happened a month ago. It would pass this time around. But as a regular ordinance, it's got to come through you first.
2.5 acre minimum, does that include the cities?
No, unincorporated areas.
Correct. We have no jurisdiction over the municipalities within the county, so they create their own rules.
Okay, if there is a subdivision that has 0.4 to 0.6 acres in the subdivision, and the 2.5 acre does apply, because we had that situation about a year ago.
Had it today.
Yeah, but that's no, that's in there. But this was in the city sphere of influence of the city of Mount Shasta. How can they have a 2.5 acre minimum in a subdivision that has 0.4 to 0.6 acre lots? They're stacked in there like cordwood, so how can they do that?
Well, I'm not sure. Other than if the 2.5 acre requirement exists, then none of them can have vacation rentals.
This one would have been a vacation rental. Would have been, but was denied. And I'll get them. Maybe I can come to staff. Maybe you remember this.
Are you referring to the vacation rental that came forward that was under the 2.5 acre minimum?
Yes.
While that policy was
It was
being
on the
considered.
Road to Lake System.
I'm not entirely sure when that occurred.
It's not too long ago. This is just a comment. This is my frustration.
Mm-hmm.
There's inequities in these things. If the subdivision has smaller than 2.5 acres, why can't the vacation rental have less than 2.5 acres?
That policy would essentially come in front of the Planning Commission, in which you would forward a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors. Essentially, the board in this instance would have discretion over the potential impacts related to land use. So while some jurisdictions do have specific requirements for vacation rentals, others do not. It could be any and all reasons, but what we saw for the sphere of influence with Mount Shasta, it was more to protect neighborhood compatibility and character.
Don't go there. Anyway, thank you.
So we have commissioner comments? Or were you jumping the gun after Mr. Dean gave his staff report?
Maybe I did, but I'm the chair and I got away with it.
Okay. So, number one, I want to reiterate to staff to make it official that in communications on future projects, in addition to the infamous State Clearinghouse black hole, that our agencies that have local offices, the Forest Service, CAL FIRE, CDFW, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, that they get noticed on those projects at the same time, so that hopefully we stop having these projects come before us that went down to the Sacramento hole, come back to us, and those of us who live in a regulatory nightmare see no comment on something that should have had multiple pages of comments and dissertation, because if it had been a different project, it certainly would have. We're not having to send it back to you and take the project proponent and say, okay, we're putting this on hold to a time unspecified, so that we can make sure that our local agencies get their input on this. So that's the first one. Second, and it's one that I meant to bring up a couple months ago, but one of the commenters today on, I think it was on a phone call, reminded me of this. And council, this is a question for you. Specifically with use permits, we have the use permit itself. We know that the use permit, if approved, and I'm not talking about the different, whether it's a quarry, a vacation rental, what have you, that that use permit goes with the property as it changes ownership. I can understand that with gravel pits. It makes perfect sense because somebody's buying the pit, they have an understanding of what is involved, all of the permitting, additional permitting regulations, etc., they're going to have to follow. Makes perfect sense to me on that one. With vacation rentals, not so much. Because, and I think the person who called in today made a good point. First use permit, vacation rental use permit holder, ran a very high class, respectable facility. No issues. Sold. Next person comes in, and all of a sudden it becomes the thorn under the saddle in the neighborhood. And granted, yes, we can continue forward, we get enough complaints, we can then bring it in, etc. Is it legal, possible, to carve out vacation rental use permits that they are valid for the applicant only, and that, you know, we have the language, should it cease to be a vacation rental for X number of days, it becomes void. Are we allowed to say on sale of property it becomes void, and if it is to continue, must be reapplied for by the new property owner? So that that individual, because maybe it's the management group, and maybe we do have a problem with one that we're not aware of until it comes up for a new person. We say, all right, but you can't use this, you know, we have a problem here. Is that within our purview?
Yeah. I break case law on this, and it's pretty much cold, hard law that when a use permit is issued, it's to the property. There can be things like expiration dates if there's a reason and justification for it. It's an error if the use permit is issued to a person only. Use permits are to go with property, and public courts have just stated that if we try to limit a use permit to a person rather than to the real property, it's not a legal condition.
So essentially the use permit has to have a specific date it expires, or the alternative is to approve vacation rentals through a different permit avenue.
And that's what I was wondering, perhaps in this time of moratorium on less than 2.5 acres and in staff's reviewing the housing element, which this is under, perhaps staff might take a look at that and see if there is a mechanism that we can stand on solid ground for vacation rentals specifically, giving us the ability to either maybe, and council can look into this, we set a date that the use permit for the vacation rental expires upon change of ownership.
Yeah, so
but if that's something that we can do, because that caller today, and it reminded me, because we've had several commenters over the course of the year said, hey, Smith's had this, and we never had a problem with it. But then Jones came in, and we've had nothing but problems. And then they sold it, and then we had Thompson's, and Thompson's weren't bad. But it's like,
yeah, so
it might make things easier for you, mm-hmm. because we basically have no code enforcement officer.
Yeah.
If you consider the size of the county and the issues we have, they're bigger issue, fish to fry, so to speak, than dealing with vacation rental complaints. And so
could we tighten that up some way?
Yeah, absolutely. A board member did express support for having these vacation rental permits end with the property owner should it change hands. And then there's other jurisdictions within the state of California that have similar processes that we can take or borrow or mold a program after or a permit after.
When this thing you were talking about just first came up, I went down and talked to a person that worked at the title company to see that if a property sold, is it listed there that is a vacation rental? And it is not. It's not listed on the title.
Well, it should be disclosed in the sale.
Yeah, it's a disclosure,
but
it's not on the title.
It's not on the title.
No.
And according to her, she said you don't really have to disclose that.
Well.
Yeah. Have to disclose it. I don't know this has been a year ago. And this person is no longer working.
There's so many lawsuits against real estate non-disclosure.
I know.
But you have to disclose if you have a minor or quarry.
Oh, yeah.
That's on the title.
Oh, yeah.
So why wouldn't the use permit for...
Now.
That's interesting.
This is a little bit off-site, but
okay.
If you sell property with water rights, do the water rights go with the property now?
Always have.
Yeah. I know it always has. Still does.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I heard you are not to.
Right? Yeah, I understand.
Otherwise,
that,
you don't sell the place.
You know, under comments, I'd like to...
Go ahead.
I'd just like to say, you know, the staff, when you take an application, especially this last one we did, you worked very hard to accommodate these people. And every application you did, I really admire that. I mean, we're not living in a county where you deny it just out of whole cloth. You work with that application to accommodate what they wish. And I'm sorry that with all the work that you've done, we denied this. I hope you're not disappointed. We're smiling. You are disappointed.
You know, I just do my best to do what I can to get these projects presented to you with the information that you guys need to make your decision. And I don't have a personal opinion on whether projects should be approved or denied.
Well, hope so. Thank you.
So I have one more. And this is kind of a update, but it goes back to my previous comment on lack of an enforcement officer's multiplicitous plurality that we are in need of with the illegal green grow in three locations up French Creek, which after calls to county, Cal Fire, Sheriff's Department, CDFW is finally going to be the lead agency to take action on them. But it has taken 4 years, Chief. But I recognize how the safety concern for a code officer going out, because we're trying to put the kibosh on it in Scott Valley. We're still small enough where CDFW law enforcement, Cal Fire, they're working together on it. I think we're going to have some resolution on that one. But I get calls from what's happening over here, and I don't know what we're going to do about it, but it's getting ugly. And I don't know. I realize the county's broke, but we need a significant increase in code enforcement. And I know it's not your guys' fault. I know you're limited on the budget for what you can put in. And I know it's limited what a code enforcement or two could do without law enforcement there to provide protection on some of these visits. And the Sheriff's Department's low staffed and can't necessarily assign somebody to go out. And so things don't happen. But I just want you to know that there may be another venue if this environment is correct, where it's a potential threat to multiple listed species and water and erosion. Perhaps communications with a couple of our agencies in some locations may aid in those efforts.
You see,
what's going on out there, it's not necessarily it's an illegal world that's the problem. The problem is they just moved in and building houses. There's no sewer facilities. There's no
A friend of mine just did the flyover, and it's darn near the size of Reading. There are roads going. It's a development.
Yeah, it's not. It's not what they're growing. It's the fact that they just disregarded any of those.
And I don't know what the county can do, but boy, after I saw the latest flyover from my friend videoing for about 5 minutes, I'm just, none of that's permitted. I mean, that is intensive land development.
You know, they bought the horse rescue.
Yeah. So that was my last comment.
Even, you know, even if they legalized marijuana, that problem would still be, exist out there.
It is. What I'm hoping is what happened to the hemp happens to the marijuana. 2 years ago, 3 years ago, if you had an acre of hemp, you had thousands of dollars. Now you can't give it away.
Yeah, but the problem is you now have 35,000 acres in southern Oregon that still have hemp residue, can't be removed,
yes.
And it's still not going back into
the environment. Yeah, that's right. That's the downside.
There's new Quonset huts going on. Medford, that's
I know, I see them.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, this is just a general comment because that's what happened to the hemp. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so much of it, it lost its value.
Well, seems
then,
to be
like Jeff said, the land,
yeah,
you can't use it.
Can't smoke hemp, so.
I know. But you can make, what's that, hemp something or another? Some hemp salve or something? Anyway, anybody have any other comments? This meeting stands adjourned.